Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
I'm Erica Lynn, and we all know the ocean is the most demanding environment on Earth, consistently testing the reliability and durability of our equipment. When you spend as much time fishing as I do, you know that reliable gear is essential for staying on the water. This is why I went with Abyss Battery to power my trolling motor, electronics, and outboard. The guys at Abyss Battery are rattling the saltwater industry by manufacturing performance marine batteries specifically designed for sonar, outboards, trolling motors, and electronic fishing reels. They're also Bluetooth compatible, so I found checking battery statuses right on your phone while you're out on the water is a huge game changer. To learn more about why Abyss batteries are used by the pros and factory installed by premier boat builders, visit abyssbattery.com.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about New York, we're going to talk about the media, and we're going to talk about how crazy the world is getting. And that kind of seems like every day. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my life story. I don't know. I try and avoid talking about New York, but, you know, it's, you know, that's how the world goes, right? Yeah. So basically, I guess what prompted the thoughts for this was in the beginning of the week, social media was just filled with and news articles, Rolling Stone, right. New York Times, all kinds of papers had articles about a trucker boycott in New York City that was going to basically happen this week. It was going to happen last Monday, you know, like. I don't know what the 15th or somewhere around there, or I don't know, 17th, 18th.
Who trying knows? To keep track of this. Whatever.
It's one of those days, right? Mm-hmm. But basically last week. Well, the bottom line is maybe it happened with three or four trucks, but as far as I know, I don't think anything really panned out about it. And it was weird because the one guy, you know how people talk, that's the whole thing. So there was a clip and people talk and that's how the world is. But bottom line, it comes down to it was more drama and hype. And that's what the media seems to love. Let me play a clip here.
Boycott starts tomorrow.
They're going to start refusing loads in New York City starting on Monday. I got about three drivers that I drive with. They already vibrated the boss and told them they ain't going to New York City. So I don't know how far across the country this is or how many truckers are going to start denying loads to go to New York City. But I'll tell you what, you f*** around and find out.
I just was thinking he was listening to our podcast, so I was excited because he was like, yeah, fuck around and find out. And I'm like, oh, shit. This guy's on board, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, he knows what's going on. So, thing is, that's all the guy said. And he didn't send it to the media and, hey, start whatever. Mm-hmm. It just people started spreading it because people get excited about things. And I think people who are conservative kind of want to see the demise of New York City. It's kind of like you want to cut the head off the snake and – I mean, it's kind of like D.C. or New York City. It's hard to choose.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like our overlords are capitalists. Now, mind you, I am capitalist at heart, but corporations are not really capitalist. They're government shill. Like, it's so bad. Yeah. I don't mean that the government runs corporations. I mean, it's a bunch of corrupt fuckers all working together.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is insane. And you know, it's not a free market. It's like, oh, we'll regulate the other people so that you have to do what we say with corporations. And I'm like, that's not really capitalism.
Yeah, that's not how it works. I mean, if you want to get down to it, it's corporations that are writing the laws in this country. You know what I mean? Your representative doesn't give a shit about you because you didn't donate $100,000 to his campaign last year.
Kevin, $100,000 is chump change.
Yeah. Yeah. If you donated less than $100,000, you go fuck right off with that. Nobody gives a fuck about you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to make it senseless. Now, I had some other videos, other truckers kind of saying the same thing. And I guess they were like, oh, well, he recanted it and he saw the wrong of his ways. And I don't know that that was really the case. I did.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that. That's what Chicago. Is it Chicago Ray?
Chicago Ray. Yeah. I ended up catching a podcast about it, and damn it, I lost the name of it, and I feel bad. I like to give people props. It was like Trucker or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about it, and he was like, look, I haven't talked to anybody who is like, yeah, we're not doing loads in New York. He's like, most people won't go to New York, but that's because it's a fucking shithole and you can't turn around.
Right.
And I mean, I know my uncle's a trucker and he talked about, you know, going all the time to New York City. And he was like, it's a disaster. You know, you can't move on the streets. You can't, you know, everybody's cutting in and trying to get you in.
Right. When you're driving a truck, you have
to try to rob you. It's not where you want to be, you know?
Yeah. When you're driving a truck, you have to have a significant amount of stopping distance between you and the car in front of you. And you can't have any space in New York City. Like, you know, if it's enough space for a car to fit in there, it's going to fit in there. But I mean, those things are just, you know, I guess. So 16% of truck drivers are owner operators, right? They can decide where they want to go. Right. You know, they can make their own decisions about that sort of stuff. 10%, if you took 10% of the trucks going to New York City off the road or out of New York City anyway, I mean, it would prices would skyrocket, you know, everything, eggs, milk, you know, everything that, you know, somebody consumes, 10% would be enough to send the prices through the roof.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I mean, you definitely could devastate something. And I think that definitely sheds some light on the fragility of our infrastructure, you know, and of our system. You know, we always talk about the on-demand grocery store kind of thing. And like, it's some things are every 24 hours they're restocking the shelves. But, you know, at best, you get every 3 days, you know, your shelves are being restocked. And they don't keep inventory. The way the government, it's weird. We've really set up a system where you can't hold the inventory or we end up taxing you on things. And
you
know, it's weird. Just very strange the way they have the system set up. And it really forces companies and businesses to not stock anything extra. So if somebody decides to screw you or something, you know, say they shut down all the cell phones in North Carolina for 8 hours or whatever, you know, something like that could happen. It can really disrupt things.
Mm-hmm.
That happened this week.
Oh, did that happen?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Things are going downhill everywhere, man.
Remember those cyber attacks when you were like, hey, you know, this guy's screaming from the, that was the thing.
That was the thing.
That was the thing. But I think it was just AT&T cell phones. So we don't want to, you know, I don't want to start a panic. But anyway, feelings. Anyway, the whole thing with the Trump stuff, there was another clip. I think I'll give you that. See what you guys think. This is Kevin O'Leary. You've seen on Shark Tank.
What the governor says, New York was already a loser state, like California is a loser state. There are many loser states because of policy, high taxes, uncompetitive regulation. It was already on the top of the list of being a loser state. I would never invest in New York now, and I'm not the only person saying that.
Now, that's another thing that New York, another reason y'all need to be thinking about getting the hell out of there. Now, obviously one person, and honestly, I don't really think he's that cool. I don't really like Kevin O'Leary that much, but it's nice when people say things you agree with, we can all jump on board and be right. Like, yeah. I know like Grant Cardone, again, another, he's kind of an online marketing guy, but he's a big real estate guy. And same thing. He's like, oh, you know, I was going to do New York, and now I'm kind of thinking, Now here's the thing. Now, so this is a big debate, and I know you and I disagree, and me and the wife disagree, and we all get different news that paints it a different way, and we hear different reports. I don't think, unless you sat through the whole trial and you kind of understand the nuance of things, either one of us really knows what the right answer is, right? Mm-hmm. So we're all taking it from the snippets that we hear and the little sound bites and the promotions and right. People's interpretations that we see.
Right. If now, you're listening to one news channel, you're hearing completely different news clips than another news channel. You know what I mean? You're hearing completely different right. stories. Unless you're sitting for 3 hours a day watching the trial for the past 3 months or however long it's been going on, you don't know what the fuck you're talking and about. Even if you're paying attention.
Right. If you don't really know the business, do you even understand it too? You know, and I don't. You know, I'm not a big real estate guru or know anything, you know, whatever. But let's talk about it. So that's the whole thing. Supposedly this trucker boycott and the reason investors are saying they want to pull out of New York is if you feel like somebody can just disagree with you, so they turn on you and look for anything, you get scared about doing business there. That's the way they're phrasing it, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they're meaning, that New York just turned on one of their own because they don't like his politics. Now, you know, I know you said that, you know, when we were discussing it earlier that, you know, Trump, people either love him or hate him. He's kind of had kind of a slimy past in some of the stuff. And I'm talking back to The Apprentice and stuff like that. People who remember New York. He was somebody who would hold a grudge, I think, with his business dealings. And I think we've seen that play out in politics.
Right, in politics too. He does the same thing,
That was people's consensus, I think, as a New Yorker, how you – you know, but people still kind of looked up to him because mm-hmm. he's somebody who got it done. You know, now, mind you, I mean, somebody who dad only gives you $177 million and you turn that into something, you know, that's scrap.
Right. Yeah.
That's an actual number. I didn't just make that up.
It's like rags to riches stories, man. I only had $170 million to start with. I mean, Jesus, what do you expect?
His dad only invested in brick buildings because, you know, and Trump took it into modern. He's got glass.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, that's what, if you read the Art of the Deal, you'll understand what
I'm saying. Wave of the future.
He's changed the world. So bottom line, what it all comes down to is Trump got fined $354 million. Mm-hmm. All right. That's the actual number. It's weird because my understanding, it's a civil suit, which I don't understand how that's possible because it's brought by the state and not by anybody who is wronged. And that's one of the big things is New York is the one getting money, the $354 million.
Right. That's not going to somebody that got damages.
Defrauded. Yeah. Right. They're like, oh, he defrauded all these banks. And so we're going to take the money and not give it to the banks, which sounds a little suspicious. The way it plays out. So bottom line is you present what your properties are worth, and then the bank has the opportunity to do their due diligence. Like, think about like when I called to get a mortgage, because this happened, I bought a house a couple of years ago. And I call the bank and they're like, well, what is the property worth? And I say, well, Zillow says it's worth this. So I guess it's worth that. I have no idea. I don't know. I like Zillow, right? That's, I can go on Realtor, I can go on Zillow, I can see what other things are selling by, but it turns out I'm not a certified appraiser.
Right.
And I think I was like, oh, or Zillow said it was like 400. And it was funny because I told the lady I was talking to, and I was like, yeah, I think like 350 is probably realistic. I don't think 400's right, whatever. And this is, I don't know, a while ago, whatever. I'm not trying to talk about whatever. You know, the housing market.
Right. It can
be anything, right? You know, whatever. Yeah. Don't
read every month
into these numbers. I'm not trying to be an ass. Now I'm regretting I said anything. But so Zillow says 400. I'm like, well, maybe 350. And they're like, well, we're sending out an appraiser and we're going to get to the bottom. And that's what companies do. And they have the right to do their own due diligence, right? Mm-hmm. And right. They send out an appraiser and they're like, you know what? We think it's worth $250,000. And so we said we were going to give you this interest rate, but now because your loan to value has now changed, we kind of want to give you a crappier interest rate.
Right. It has to increase. Yeah.
And it increases. So that's exactly what's happening here. So they're saying that Trump went to the bank and said, my properties are worth $500 million. I have no idea what the exact numbers were. I didn't watch the trial. $500 million. And in reality, they were worth, we'll say half that, $250 million. And the bank gave them an interest rate based on it being good. Now, mind you, the bank had done business with Trump before, and I would be willing to say that they did business because they like dealing with Trump and they know that he pays his loans and he gets shit done. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. That's my personal opinion. That's not a fact. That's not a news story, right? My personal opinion. So, oh, well, it is my personal opinion, but the bank came to court and also testified, hey, one, we're not offended by this deal. Two, we would do business again with Trump. We were happy with the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, nope, guilty. So that's my take. Kevin, I know you have a different version of things. Let's hear your interpretation of things.
Yeah, I mean, my real interpretation of it is that, you know, he broke the law, he committed fraud.
Okay.
So is that money that they're fining him for, is that a reasonable amount? I have no fucking idea. Probably not. It seems a little bit excessive to me, but, you know, again, I don't know shit. I don't know shit about banking and real estate development in New York City. I don't know shit about that. But, I mean, they're trying to act like he didn't do anything wrong, but he did break the law. So, you know, you can cry and scream and, you know, maybe he could have had his lawyers, you know, defend him instead of just like fucking going up and crying the whole fucking time and arguing with the judge about, you know, this and that and insulting the judge and insulting the, yes. You know what I mean? That's not how you get positive, you know, rulings in your favor by insulting everybody. You could actually just try and argue legally, but they didn't really seem like they did that. It seems like his lawyers were fucking garbage.
Yeah. You know, from the little snippets I got, and again, I am so far away from that stuff that like I used to do I worked with another guy, but we had a small appliance business and did like fridge, stove, washer, dryer, dishwasher, whatever. So I'd drive around in a van like 8 hours a day. You know, I'd stop at a house, do a 20-minute repair, get back in the van, drive 40 minutes to the next house. And, you know, that would be my day. So I would listen to talk radio 24/7. And they have me, you know, it's weird. You have that news cycle that goes for like a week of the same thing all week long. You're just like the same story. Let's talk about it from this angle. Let's talk about it from that angle. What does the guy on the street think? Well, what does the guy two streets over think? What's his opinion? You know, you just go, and then eventually you're like, man, none of this matters. I'm just like getting stressed and heartburn and whatever over nonsense. And you end up letting it go. And so when my job shifted to, you know, I'm in like a a factory, whatever, doing stuff all day. I don't get that same outside, and my drive to work, it's not really conducive to any of the talk radio guys that I really liked or whatever. So I end up, and I mean, mind you, you can do anything on a podcast. Now you guys probably know, you probably, some of you might listen to podcasts, and I see what I did there. But anyway, but the thing is, like, I'll end up putting in audiobooks or something that I find entertaining. That's not going to stress me out. You know, Kevin likes a lot of history stuff. I like a lot of, you know, just, I don't know, how to survive the apocalypse books, things like that. And, you know, that's how I pass my time. But that's, we all get our information, and it's amazing how we interpret, you know, the different scenarios and the different things. It gets kind of ugly. And then everybody hates each other. So that was another kind of direction I want to go with this. So you have people, businesses saying, you know, I don't really trust a state that's going to turn on me. I don't like somebody who just their agenda is whatever. But 100%, you know, what is that rule, Kevin? We used to talk about how, you know, the average person breaks at least like one felony a day or two felonies a day.
Yeah,
I think that's true. Like, I think did Trump, you know, did he exaggerate the stuff? Probably. I would say yes. I mean, that's how it looks, because they're saying he said numbers and the numbers were not at all near accurate.
Right.
Are they maybe being painted in a different direction? I kind of think, yeah, I think they're being exaggerated the other way now. Because people do things to their advantage. It's kind of human nature. But I hate to say it, that's the way the system is set up. And that's where you run into so much trouble. That's kind of always the thing with where people talk about communism and socialism, because it ends up, they seem to, the system's always, now it's not inherent to communism and socialism. I don't know if that's the right word, because it ends up being the case all the time. But it's not in the definition, right? But what ends up happening is they create so many laws and rules that it's kind of impossible to follow all the laws and the rules to the letter. And then what happens is it's, oh, no, we understand that. Just do it anyway. I would say my employer does that all the time. Mm-hmm. There is a million things with safety that say safety says you have to do it this way. But then you're like, oh, it's impossible for me to do that. How do you want me to do it safely? You just need to get it done.
Well,
But well, if I'm not looking, it's okay. But if you get hurt and do something, then I'm going to fire you
because
you clearly did it wrong.
Right.
And that's what the government does. And I hate to say it, a lot of times then they look at, they end up giving themselves powers that aren't really there. So they can say, well, it's okay for you, my son. You go and do it and just know that you owe me a favor. You know, and it's that kind of thing. And it's really shady and it's dishonest. And I hate living in a world that's like that. But that's the reality world we live in. You know, you can deny it and not want it to be true. But it is true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, getting back to New York City, you know, I don't know if you guys listening have been to New York City. I mean, it is a legitimately dumpster fire. Dumpster fire, right? It is legitimately a fucking hellhole.
It does smell like pee.
Yeah, there's a lot of pee. I was talking to a friend of mine who he was talking about the Book of Revelation in the Bible. And he was talking about how they reference Babylon a lot. And he said, it's like Babylon is New York City is Babylon. New York City is like the trade capital of the world. And that's what they're talking about in the Bible. He goes, when the end times come, it's going to be New York City that's destroyed by fire from heaven. You know, New York City really is like the cesspool. You know, even the rich people are scumbags. You know, it's run by mobsters. Not just Italian mobsters, you know, all the mobsters, the Irish mob, everybody's in there, you know, everybody's doing all their shady, wild bullshit. You know, the poor people are robbing you, you know, at least they're decent enough to rob you face to face. You know, the rich people are robbing you, you know, taking money out of your bank account before you even know it's, you know, you're getting robbed, and they're doing it legally. That's the only difference. You know, somebody's holding a knife to you and you give them your wallet. That's a whole different story than when they can just take it legally. And, it, you know, New York City, you're getting fucked up the ass no matter how you do business over there. And if you're going to be successful, you have to be a real shady, lying, cheating asshole. And Trump did fantastic in New York City.
Right. Exactly. No, you're not wrong. And that's the thing. I mean, but that's what I wonder. And I've really changed my philosophy, and I hate to have a different moral code as I get older and whatever. And I guess we get cynical and, mm-hmm. you know, some of us get kinder and easier going, and some of us just get bitter and angry and, you know, whatever. I'm not sure which one I fall into. You can have your opinions. I'm sure you guys might, but, that's the whole thing, is that you have to realize we're playing a game, and it's all a game. And that's, I think, the problem. You know, the IRS has their things. The government has all kinds of rules. We have to, you know, we have free speech. We can say things, but if we say things, we might be in trouble. We're held liable for things that aren't, you know, it's just insanity. And like, you wonder, like, so long, and this is one that I always get into trouble for, I hate to even mention it, but like, you look at like the welfare system or whatever, and you're like, oh, you know, lazy people taking advantage of the system. Well, maybe I'm the sucker, you know?
Right.
Maybe I'm the sucker going to work every day and paying all this stuff. Well, everybody just take theirs, because, and you're just like, and you can't give up. You can't be that guy who just is like, oh, I'm done. You know, like, whatever. I'll just send me my check and I'll be okay. You know, in your heart, you have, I don't know, you have your principles, and then you're like, man, do I just say whatever? Just give me mine. Just sign me up. Because it's exhausting, you know, they take so much from you. But then do you just decide, you know what, I'm going to be better at playing the game than they are? And I hate to say it, maybe Trump is smarter than I am, with the idea that he early on decided, you know what, I'm going to play the game and beat these fuckers. Because it's like, I'll be a Democrat, a Republican, I'll be whatever I need to be to win the game. And you know what? I mean, to be honest, you know, even we'll say, all right, say they take everything Trump's built up and they lock him in jail for the rest of his life. Did he not still win the game? Did that guy not get 75 years or whatever?
Right.
Of kicking ass, you know, with
banging supermodels and
supermodels and whatever. Did he not win the game? I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, Trump has definitely achieved a lot in his life. He had, you know, granted, like you said, he started out with $270 million, but he built it up to.
Kevin, don't give him more than he had. It wasn't that easy.
Sorry. Excuse me. But he built it up to about $4 billion, $4.5 billion, wherever he's at. He said $10 billion, but I think, you know, whatever. He often says a lot of things that just whatever. He's achieved a lot for you know, and he also, I mean, he's normalized men wearing makeup. That's another thing he's got going for him.
He brought back orange hair.
You know what I'm saying? We all talk shit about gingers, and then Trump was right there just gingering it up.
Embracing, you know? It.
Yeah, exactly. With the fucking weird hair he's got going on. You know, I was looking at his hair the other day, trying to figure out how, like, I could style mine like his.
Sure.
His hair has got to be like 2 feet long, and it just fucking, you know, he's got like six comb overs. They just go this way. And then, yeah, I mean, it's really like combed over like five times if you look at it closely. But you know, whatever. Regardless, though, it, you know, it doesn't matter if you're voting for a Democrat or a Republican, in my opinion, anymore, because I feel like they're all both fucking me. None of them are interested in helping me. You know, like the House of Representatives is full of people hypothetically representing the people of that state, but they're not. They're representing the GOP, or they're representing the Democratic Party. They're not representing you. They don't give a fuck about you, you know? And, you know, Trump said that when he was running against Hillary. He said, you know, the system is rigged. I know that because I use it to my advantage. And exactly. maybe that's the way you have to do things. You know, maybe you should cheat on your wife and do whatever the fuck you want. I don't know. I mean, I don't do that. I don't rob from people. I pay people when they do work for me. But whatever. Maybe I'm a dumbass.
Well, Kevin, people have often said that about both of us. So, you know, it's, you know, hey,
yeah.
Oh, that's the thing. Like you bring up, well, the Republicans, you know, have their own issues, and man, oh my God. So that's the thing, right? People come in at work, and I know like there's a guy that I really respect, as far as his work ability and you know, his knowledge of his job and doing stuff. And we're good buddies and we have conversations, but this guy's like a hardcore lefty, right? Like he's way, you know, whatever. And it just seems like a couple of times a year, he'll just walk into my shop and be like, hey, you know what that fucker Trump did or whatever. And just, yeah, that's stupid. And he's so dumb and whatever. And he'll go on his little tirade about whatever. And there's another guy at work who, it's funny because he listens to the podcast and he knows, you know, my opinions and knows that like we have a reasonably good understanding of history, me and Kevin. And I paid attention to politics, you know, for a lot of years. Like I said, I mean, there was, you know, it's funny, I got to my job and, you know, people would mention, oh, this politician, this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but remember 5 years ago they said this. And, you know, like, because like I said, I used to listen all the time and I, you know, that would be my world. Like other people watch football and know football players.
Right.
I knew politicians, you know, I knew the stats on all the politicians and knew that stuff. That was my world for a lot of years, was just paying attention to that because that's what talk radio did, you know, and that's fine. But so anyway, so the guys who listen to the podcast and whatever, he wants to kind of defend Trump and say, you know, positive things about Trump. And he's like, hey, you're going to have to help me here. And I kind of like cringe because I'm like, dude, I've been down this road with this guy.
Yeah.
And he is not. He's not somebody who's willing to look at both sides of the issue. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm like, you're just going to make an enemy. Like, you know, like when he says stuff and he'll be like, Trump did this stupid thing. If it was a stupid thing, I'm like, you know what? You're right. That was really stupid. He definitely put his foot in his mouth there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times they're valid points. Cause that's what they're going to bring up are the ones that are the valid points, not the other, you know? And I'm willing to call a spade a spade. You know, that's the whole thing. I'm down for, you know, the truth. Now, the honest answer is when it comes to Biden or Trump on the ballot, I'm going to vote for Trump over Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Is Trump who I want on my ballot? No, he's not. And I know that makes people sad and they cry a little on the inside that I might want somebody who I think might be a better candidate. But the bottom line is I'm still going to vote for the one that's going to be closer to my interests.
Mm-hmm.
Did Trump do some stupid things like red flag laws? Does he say some stupid ass shit that I'm like, oh my God, dude, like really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that happens all the time, right? I can be honest with myself and I can be honest with things, but does Biden say some stupid shit? Oh my God. Like, yes, he does. And so we're in this big debate at work and he's like, Well, the economy's never been better. More people have jobs than ever under Trump and whatever. And I'm like, well, here's why you have all the new jobs. You have all the new jobs because nobody was working during COVID and now people went back to work. So you have new jobs. Well, Well, that's not the reason. I'm like, okay. Yeah, it's because he's doing such a good job. You're right.
Right.
And then he's like, well, what about the stock market? The stock market's great. And I'm like, well, think about it like this. I said, inflation went up. There's no inflation. No inflation at all. You're misunderstanding. And I'm like, dude, I've been in the grocery store. There's inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that's not true. And he's like, tell me one stupid thing that Trump's or that Biden said. And so my coworker's like, boom, 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 boom.
And I'm yeah, dying. don't play that game. Tell me one stupid thing that Biden said.
Yeah, he's got all these things that Trump said.
I'm yeah, like, how long do you have? But I mean, the truth is, we've got two old, out of touch people running for president. Both of them are clearly showing signs of dementia.
Yeah.
Both of them are clearly saying things that are wildly inaccurate.
Yes.
And gibberish. A lot of the times it just doesn't even make any goddamn sense. And this is our options. Why? Yeah. Because the GOP and the Democrats decide who runs. You don't. It's not up to you.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? Do you remember who was it running against Hillary? It was what's his name? Bernie Sanders.
Oh,
you know?
Bernie.
The guy who somehow had more hair than any other candidate, but also less hair than under any other candidate. It looked like he combed his hair with a balloon. But but he could not win. Even if people were voting for him, it was going to be Hillary. You know what I mean? It wasn't up to the people that, you know, who was going to be the nominee. It was up to the Democratic Party, and they wanted Hillary. And it's the same thing on the GOP. There's a lot of other candidates that seem to me like they're better than Trump on the right, but they're not going to, it's not up to us. It's up to, you know,
I always think things and then it changes. It's so hard to know these people and understand what you're getting. So in the primary, when people were voting for Trump, and I'm talking about back when he was running against Hillary,
mm-hmm.
I was a Ted Cruz fan. And I'm like, you know, Ted Cruz is really great, and I really like him. And his principles and values, I got to say, if morals and values and principles, I would rather have Ted Cruz. Now, work with me here. I haven't finished. Then after Trump got in office, Ted Cruz kind of became a little unhinged. And I'm like, whoa, this guy's not what I saw before. You know, and he seems like a different character. And you could tell me that, you know, he does some kind of crazy things and says some stupid things. And I'd be like, you know, you're right. And that's very surprising to me. Same thing, Nikki Haley. Now, I loved Nikki Haley when she was going to the UN and pretty much everything up to that point. She really was as strong and doing as much as she could do with the authority she was given. I was like, wow, she's really representing conservative things. And now I'm starting to see stuff that, you know, she's like, oh, well, we'd have to raise the age for Social Security. It doesn't work anymore or whatever. And she's like, I never said that. That's not me. And then they're playing clips of her saying it. And it's multiple clips, not even like out of context. And you're like, well, how, like, why?
Right. Why?
Just believe what you believe. Like, we're not going to be 100% all in for any candidate. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the bottom line. Now, to me, you paid in your whole life for Social Security. Well, it's supposed to be based on what you get is based on what you paid in is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Now, whether those numbers are accurate reflections, I don't know about all that. But I just know that it is supposed to be relative to how much you earned and paid into the system. How much you get out of it. If you earned that money, I feel like you should be getting that money back. You know, you were promised it. They were told you when they took it. To change the deal, I think is bullshit and whatever. So I can understand why people would be like, whoa, that's a big deal. You know, you're messing with the money in my pocket. To me, there's so many bigger areas that we could go after that's not the fish that I would want to, you know, throw out of the boat. Right. Like, I don't know. To me, that's ridiculous. Like, oh, wait, how about we just stop giving billions of dollars to the Ukraine? Maybe it's trillions. Is it trillions? I don't know.
We're getting there now. Yeah.
you know, we don't need to be giving money. You know, that's thing, that same argument I was having with the guy at work was, he's like, I was like, we don't need to be throwing our money in all this foreign aid to everybody. What, you need to be an isolationist? Only America? And I'm like, wait a minute. No other country in the world gives out money like we give out money.
Mm-hmm. And nobody's giving it to us.
And I'm like, let's just like slow it down to like England's standard or, you know, France or whatever. We'll give out money like they give out money. I'm not saying isolationist. I'm just saying let's rein it in by a couple of trillion dollars, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that might be the only thing I agree with Trump about.
I don't even know that he's that good on that. You know, but the thing is, everything comes with like being relative. So if I say, let's rein it in, you know, and I see politicians, oh, we need to be 100% this way. We're never 100%, right? Mm-hmm. We end up being like 30%. And I'm saying, let's just rein it back to closer. You know, if you guys want to see something cool, go read Davy Crockett when he went to Congress. He gave a speech called the Not Yours to Give speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I'll see if I can find it. I'll read it and make a like YouTube short or something, put it on there. And you guys will see. It's pretty amazing because it's really what government should be. Charity should be up to the individual. Charity should be up to you. It can be you, your church, whatever, you know, organizations you decide to go with. Now, maybe you can't reach everybody or do something. But charity is your decision. It's not the government's decision to take from you and decide what's appropriate. Now, I know you guys are all thinking, well, yeah, but Chuck, the government is so efficient that they'd be able to react in a moment and do something, you know, and go in and help. And I would never have the power to do that. Well, yeah, maybe that's not really the case. Do you guys remember Katrina? Do you remember how that played out? It's not exactly like they're really on top of their game. They kind of suck.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, this is once again another reason that you need to get your stores in order. You need to be able to take care of yourself, and you need to be prepared for things to slow down. Because no, this wasn't really a big trucker shutdown in New York City or anything like that. But that kind of thing could happen at any time. Cyber attacks are really becoming more of a threat and something you need to think about. It is definitely more of a possibility in the more recent months and years. And I got to say, a lot of countries are really getting a little ballsier against the US. And, you know, sometimes I hate to say it, I've heard of things like, hey, I'd rather react, well, the guy we think is in office instead of the guy who might fly off the handle and nuke the whole world. You know, they might want to take action before that. Right.
Right.
I'm just saying that might be the thing to do. I don't know, but maybe they're sure that Trump could never win. I don't know. I don't, you know, oh, the elections are rigged, so don't even worry about it. Who knows? You know, I don't know how it's all going to play out. I just know that, you know, we need to look for the right thing and just make the best decisions we have. But for me, the best decision is be able to provide for your family. Make sure your stuff is secure. And maybe that means burying it in the backyard or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is for you. I just know that you need to make sure that you have the things you need to take care, defend your family, protect your family, feed your family, give them clean water, and keep them safe. And maybe the things to teach your kids values, you know, maybe those things you need to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got.
And really, when it comes down to it, remember who the president is has almost no bearing on your life. You know what I mean? We love to like scream and cry and Biden is ruining the country. He's not really doing shit. None of these people are really doing shit. Vote for your town councilman. Worry about who your county executives are. Worry about your state legislators.
Your sheriff.
Yeah, your sheriff. Exactly. Exactly. Those are things that actually matter. The president really doesn't affect your life all that much.
School board might be a smart place to check out. Anyway, really appreciate you guys sticking with us. You know, you can get, I'll put a link to where you can buy cool gear, badass things. I would love if you like and subscribe. I appreciate all your comments and the interaction. We really love having you guys here every week. You can find out more at preppingbadass.com. And otherwise, I would say stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Supply chains are the lifeblood of business. It's time to learn to lead in this in-demand field. The Ohio State University Fisher College of Business offers an online Master of Supply Chain Management degree. This new program builds on their reputation in supply chain management and business education. Each online class blends self-paced live learning and immersive classes. Earn your Master of Supply Chain Management degree in as little as 15 months. Visit go.osu.edu/MSCM to learn more. The Ohio State University Fisher College of Business, where principled leaders are created.